Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just thinking as we were, so I was sitting there watching the offering gathered. We need to have a CDO reunion when we all get to heaven. That'd be okay? I know there's lots of people that have gone on before us, and I'm sure there's plenty that you've already scheduled meetings with, but when you've accomplished some of that, let's have a little corner where we can gather and just say hello and praise God together. Because it's good to be a family of God and to worship the Lord together. Day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, amen? And it really is a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ. Well, this morning we continue our series entitled Dig. So let me read to you from Genesis 26, one of our founding texts for this series, and then we will head to Matthew chapter 6. Just a reminder, it says, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. So here's what we've said so far. In order to redig or dig for the first time these spiritual wells of nourishment, we must recognize the vital importance of fresh water. We must appreciate the proven validity of old wells. And we must realize the required necessity of work. Since the first of the year, I've encouraged you to dig and drink from three different wells: the well of the Word of God, the well of prayer and intimacy with God, and the well of fellowship with other believers. Today, I want to talk about a well that I believe is often not recognized as a source of spiritual nourishment. Rather, it's viewed as necessary for salvation and occasionally needed if some severe offense should come into our lives. But I want to try to change that today. I want to try to change that perspective as we consider the well of forgiveness. The well of forgiveness. I don't know if you view it the same way that you view reading the Word of God, spending time in His Word, or prayer and intimacy, or even fellowship, but it really is a well that we need to be going to every day and drawing forth what God has for us because of the nourishment that comes from this well of forgiveness. So in order to see two different aspects as we unpack some truths about this well, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go back to the Lord's Prayer and see how these waters meet two intricately but different interconnected needs in our lives. I'm going to start in verse 11. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And in verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Notice I began with verse 11. At first glance, it seems to be talking about an unrelated subject. Give us today our daily bread. But I have always believed that God placed these truths in this particular order to remind us of the daily importance, not only of our physical need of bread, but of our spiritual need of forgiveness. Passage also identifies two different types of drinks that we need to draw from this well. What are they? Being forgiven of our own spiritual debt and forgiving others who have trespassed against us. Both of these things, I believe, are needed every day. And I believe that they come from a well called forgiveness. And that if we will be faithful to clear out this well or dig it for the first time in our lives, we will be able to drink not only of the forgiveness that God has for us, but we will be able to drink that nourishment that comes from forgiving others. See, we've got to come to see this as one cup of forgiveness. To believe that we can somehow drink from one side of this cup and not the other is a lie that Jesus will not allow us to accept. You can't drink of the forgiveness of God without also drinking of your need to forgive others. So how do we dig this well? How do we redig this well? Or how do we maintain this well in such a way that we can draw water from it? Let's look at these two aspects this morning. The first is forgive us our debts. How do we take a drink from this well? I want us to begin to think about this, and I put some things in your notes this morning. I want to expand upon that in just a little bit. But how do we drink from this well, or how do we dig it? How do we make sure that we're taking the nourishment of water that we need from this well of forgiveness when it comes to our debts being forgiven? Romans 10, 9, you know the verse says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on to say, for it is with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do we dig this well? We start with confession. We confess. If we want our debts forgiven, the Bible says that we need to confess our needs. There's two words in the scripture. One from the New Testament, a Greek word, and one from the Hebrew in the Old Testament, both of them which are translated to confess. And when you begin to study them and look at the meaning of it, I've always appreciated that, especially when you go back to the Hebrew, you see that there is a connotation there of the meaning to extend an open hand. Now, the basic meaning from the Greek word means to agree with or to come into agreement with. So when we're confessing something, we're coming into agreement with what God says about our need for forgiveness. We're coming into agreement with what God says about sin and the results of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is... So we're coming into an agreement with that when we are confessing. We're coming into an agreement with the holiness of God. But I like that meaning that says to extend an open hand, because I understand that as a person who was young at one time and also one who is a parent now and has kids. How many have ever had something in your hand you didn't want mom and dad to see? What do? We hide it, right? I don't have anything. And then of course, if they say, well, what's in your hand? We do one of these, right? Nothing. Right? Anybody ever played that game? And if that doesn't work, we tuck it in our pocket or something. See, I don't have anything. But to confess to the Lord means to extend an open hand and say, Lord, here's what I have. Sometimes it's not very pretty, is it? Sometimes we're confessing, Lord, here's the ugliness of my heart. Here is the blackness of my sin. Here are these thoughts, Lord, that are not thoughts that you want me to be thinking. But we begin drinking of the forgiveness of our debts by first confessing to the Lord, to extend an open hand. We then agree with the fact that there is a need for forgiveness. You see, we'll never drink from this well if we don't come into an agreement with God that there is a need for forgiveness in our lives. We agree that we are sinners, that we are wrong. We agree with God that without His forgiveness, we can only face an eternity separated from Him in hell. We agree that there is no other way to be free from that debt, from that sin, except for to confess it to God. We can't work our way out of it, right? We can't pay off that debt. So we come into an agreement with a God who has said, there's no other way to be free. There's no other way to get rid of the guilt and the shame. I believe this is one of the things that God was posing in His question to Adam. We'll talk about this more in just a minute. When God in the garden, after Adam and Eve's sin, came down in the cool of the day, as was His custom, and Adam and Eve, of course, were hiding. What were they doing? They were doing this thing, except they were doing it with their whole bodies. They were hiding from the presence of God because they knew that they had sinned against God. And so God put forth this question, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? God knew. But He put forth that question so that Adam would have to begin to process what he had done and his need to come into agreement with God about the consequences of that. Why? So that he could be forgiven. You see, I think one of the reasons why we are afraid to confess, why are we afraid to pull out what's behind our backs and show God what's in our lives and say, Lord, here it is. I think there's two reasons. Some people are worried what God is going to do when they become honest with Him. It's the same reason you hide it from your parents. I don't want them to know. They might punish me because they told me I wasn't supposed to get that, have that, do that. Isn't it amazing how even young kids know this? You guys are finding this out, right? I mean, Maggie's just a year old, but does she already kind of do this, like hide stuff that she knows? That yeah. All of us have experienced that who have kids, right? Maybe they're afraid that they're going to get punished. And maybe they need to get spanked. Maybe they need to get disciplined. But we refuse to confess to God because we're afraid of what God might do to us. The second reason that I believe we fail to dig this part of the well to confess to God is because we're afraid that God will take it away from us. See, that's what little kids do. The reason they don't want to show you what's behind their back is because if they show you, they know you're going to take it away from them. Then they won't have their fun anymore. They won't have their little toy or whatever they weren't supposed to have hiding behind their back. And we do the same thing with our sin. And so we refuse to confess it because we're afraid if we confess it and show it to God, God will say, give it to me. You don't need that in your life. I'll take it for you. Well, I don't like the consequences you're talking about, God, but I do kind of like it. Come on, let's be honest. We're real good about denying the ultimate consequences of our sin because we, as the Bible says, we enjoy it for a season. But the only way we're going to confess things to God is to extend before him an open hand and let him do what he needs to do. Now, on the first hand of this problem, I would say to you, God isn't interested in punishing you. God is interested in healing you and freeing you and loving you. Amen? And on the second part of this, may I tell you that if God says you shouldn't have it, you're better off not having it? No matter how fun it may seem, that God has something better for you, if we would just get in that in our minds. But the thing is, we can't enjoy the better things that God has for us until we let go of the things that he has told us not to hold on to. So we confess. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So what John was saying is, look, that all of us have sin. What we can't do is say that we don't have sin. Because part of the process of getting rid of that sin is to confess it to God. To confess it. Number two, how do we dig this well? Forgive us our debts. Not only do we confess, we need to believe. We need to believe. We need to believe that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting. We need to believe that God loves us. See, we confess, but then we need to believe. Believe that he loves us. Believe that he will forgive us. How many believe in here today that God will forgive you? Amen. No matter what you've done, will God forgive you? Is there anybody that God is not willing to forgive? Not if they confess, and not if they believe. Amen. The only one who God cannot forgive is the one who will not confess, who will not believe. So we believe that he will forgive us. We believe, hear me, we believe that he has the authority to forgive. Sometimes I think we forgot, have forgotten that God is the ultimate authority. There is nobody else truly who has authority to forgive you of your debts than God. Now, we had a lot of people running around paying a whole lot of money trying to go to people that will tell them that they don't have to feel guilty and they don't have to have shame. The problem is those people really don't have the authority to be able to clear their debt. But God does. He is the only one who has the ultimate authority to say, I forgive your debt. We need to believe that he took our punishment upon himself on the cross. It's all part of drinking from this well. We confess our sin, but then we believe that he took our place. That any punishment that I deserve, any debt that I owed, he paid for that debt. It's all been taken care of. What a joy to know that your debt... How many would like to wake up tomorrow and find out that some big debt that you owe has been completely paid off? Amen? All right. Maybe you bet right on... No, sorry, we don't bet here, do we? What a joy to know that our debt has been forgiven. And we need to believe with all of our hearts that what Jesus did upon the cross paid off all of our debts. Every one of them. I don't know how, but he did. So I believe that. And then we ask. Number three, we ask. It's very simple, but yet we don't do these things, and so we don't drink of this well often enough. We confess. How often are we to drink from this well? Every day. See, every day I need to go to God and confess. Man, I don't need to go to him and keep confessing old sins that I've already confessed and been forgiven of. But there's plenty from today. Amen? So I go to God and I confess, and I go to God and I continue to believe. And then I ask, God, will you forgive me? I know, again, it seems like a simple point, but it's something that we need to do in order to bring that forgiveness into our lives. God wants us to ask. James says, you have not because you ask not. Just ask God. Just ask it, God, will you forgive me? See, universalism believes that everybody's saved. Flat out across the board, everybody's saved. So why would you need to confess? Why would you need to believe? Why would you need to ask? But God wants you to ask him for this gift that he has for you. He's not talking about begging him for it, working for it. He just says, ask. When we read in that verse earlier, it says, everyone in Romans chapter 10, everyone who, what? Calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's an asking. We need to ask God for forgiveness. Again, let me go back to what we were talking about earlier about Adam being in the garden and God's question to him. Adam, where are you? Why did God need to ask something of Adam that he already knew? Because God wanted Adam not only to confess, but he wanted Adam to ask him for the answer to his situation. See, the answer wasn't in hiding, trying to ignore the sin that had been done. The answer was in confessing to God and asking him to do something about it. And God did. We ask. Number four, we receive. So verse in John 1:12 says, but to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What does it mean to receive? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to receive? Because I believe there are times when people confess their sins to God. They truly do believe, and they ask God to forgive them their sins. But they still continue to struggle with the guilt and the shame and the damage of their sin. So what does it mean to receive the forgiveness of God? And have you received it? See, I think there's a lot of people who think, man, I'm not worthy to receive it. I get the confessing part, and I get the believing that he paid the price for it and that he did something on the cross. And I've even asked him. I've asked him 100 times, but I just... I don't know. I don't think I'm worthy enough to pull that into my life, you know, to have. The word receive means to take hold of. So you're taking hold of it in a spiritual sense, in an emotional sense, in a mental sense. You're taking hold of the forgiveness that God has for you. Now, if somebody were to present you a gift, if I were to take this phone and say, hey, this is a gift for you. Now, I'll use my wife as an example. That way somebody didn't take off with my phone today. If I say, here's a gift. Here it is. Now, if maybe I should. Anybody got a $100 bill? Let me use a $100 bill as an example, because it ain't coming back to you if she gets a hold of it. Let me tell you that. She has to reach out and take it, right? We use this example often when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. But you reach out and you receive it. You take a hold of it, right? And there are so many aspects, so many different ways that we take a hold of something. We take a hold of it, again, mentally, emotionally. We've got to grasp it and receive it into our lives. And quit holding it at arm's length. Listen, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. So receive that. Receive it. Have you received his forgiveness? When you take a hold of it, have you taken a hold of his love? Have you taken a hold of his gift of newness for you? See, the Bible says that when we are forgiven, God makes us new. But that's so hard for us to take hold of, isn't it? So hard for us to receive and truly get into our spirits, because we're still warring against the flesh. And sometimes when we face the battle of the flesh, we tend to disbelieve or discount the work that God has already done. But what you've got to receive is that the debt has been paid in full. And he has made you new. Isn't that what the word says? Why do we have such a hard time receiving that? Because we still war against the flesh. All who received him. But to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So receive it this morning. Receive his forgiveness. Receive his love. Receive his newness. And then I want to add one more step to this. Repent. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Now, to repent means to change one's mind or thinking or direction. Right? We've often heard that illustration. To repent means to turn around and go in the other direction. But it means to change one's mind, one's thinking, one's direction. And the reason that I put it at the end of this process today, I know we probably could and should apply this term to the entire process. You know, this process of confessing and believing and asking and receiving is part of the repentance process. But I also think that we should refer to it as a step in this process and save it to the end. And here's why. Because repentance is a result, the ability to repent. Think about this, to change one's mind, to turn around and go in a different direction. The ability to do that is a result of being forgiven. The ability to repent is a result of the process that we've been through that gives us that ability to change. If I could change before I was forgiven, I wouldn't need to be forgiven. Right? Now, I know, again, I know the idea of repentance has a much bigger connotation than that, but in the sense of being able to turn around and go in a different direction, the reason that you and I are able to turn around and go in a different direction is because God has forgiven us and set us free. Because we've confessed, because we believe, because we ask, because we receive, we now have His power to be able to do something other than what we were doing. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 7. He said, what a wretched man I am. He said, every time I think sin's gone, it's right there with me. Didn't he say that? And he said, the things that I want to do, you know, I don't do. But the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. And he said, he posed this question. He said, who will deliver me from? Yeah. And then he answered it. He said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what Paul was saying is, look, prior to the presence of the Lord in our lives, we really have absolutely no power to do anything different than what we're doing. But because He comes in and He pays our debt, now we are free to do something new. Have you ever had a huge debt hanging over your head, you realize that your life is controlled by that debt, isn't it? And the bigger the debt, the more control there is. You know, for instance, you're not really free to just say, man, I think I'll retire. Man, I think I'll look for another job. I think I want to go out and do something different with my money. You're controlled by that debt, aren't you? You serve that debt. But oh, to be free from debt. Because when the debt's not there, then your freedom is much greater. It's no different with sin in our lives. To repent, to be able to change one's mind and one's direction and one's thinking is a part of the gift that God gives us when He forgives us. And we don't always choose to do that, do we? But we should. Confess, believe, ask, receive, repent, and you will be drinking from this well. Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of the adultery, John 8:11, when He asked her if there's anyone who condemned her, she said, no one, sir. And He says, neither do I condemn thee. But then Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. He said, you can turn around now and go a different direction. Why? Because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. So you don't have to go back to doing what you were doing. You can leave that life right now and do something that's different, that's better, that's pleasing in God's sight. See the difference between saying, until you leave that life of sin, you're not saved? We're forgiven so that we can be free, so that we can live for Jesus. It's not the other way around. We don't somehow work out a plan for living for Jesus so that we can be free, so that we can say we're forgiven. That's not grace. That would be works. We are saved, set free, forgiven, so that we can live for Jesus. Forgive us our debts. But here's the second part of that well that I want us to drink from this year. Not only the fact that our debts can be forgiven, not only that we can drink from that every day, that we can do those things, we can confess and believe and ask and receive and repent, but that we might also forgive our debtors. The translation there, in many translations, puts it in the past tense, as we have forgiven our debtors. So how do we drink from this part of the well? How do we benefit from this activity of forgiveness? And I want to give you again just a few thoughts this morning. And then I'm going to ask you to come to an altar and just whether you need forgiveness or whether you need to forgive this morning. And we're just all going to come at once because it doesn't really matter, does it? It's all the same well. It's a well of forgiveness. Sometimes we wait and we want to see, well, who's going up for that? You know, oh, they need to be forgiven. I wonder what they did last night. Or we wait for, you know, who needs to forgive? And we're, yeah, it's about time they went up there. I know how much bitterness and anger they had towards somebody. So we'll just all come at once. How's that? How do we drink from the well of forgiveness when it comes to forgiving our debtors? Here's the first thing we need to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you define what forgiving means in your particular situation. So I thought forgiving means forgiving. Forgive. Now let me start it by saying what forgiveness isn't all the time. Listen, forgiveness or forgiving doesn't mean excusing sin. I think some people are afraid to forgive their debtors because they're afraid that they're excusing their sin. Like, you're not excusing their sin. And forgiveness certainly doesn't mean enabling the person to continue to hurt you. Oh, I forgive you. Please give me some more. That's not what forgiveness is. So you've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your individual situations define what forgiving a certain individual means. See, forgiveness doesn't mean necessarily that there will be reconciliation. Sometimes there is. Sometimes there can be. Sometimes there cannot be reconciliation. But there doesn't have to be reconciliation for there to be forgiveness. Amen. And again, some people are afraid to forgive because that means I have to let that person back into my life. That's not what forgiving means. God may not want you to let that person back into your life. They may be bringing so much hurt and damage and destruction to you that God doesn't want you reconciled with that person. And that's okay. You don't have to hate them either to not be reconciled, but you do need to forgive them. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you define what forgiving means in your particular situation. Forgiving is the pathway to freedom and healing and wholeness, listen to me, for you. It's the pathway to healing and wholeness and freedom for you, not for the other person. Amen. They're going to have to find their own pathway to healing and wholeness and freedom. But it's about you. So you ask the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What do I need to do in this situation to forgive their debt? And I think going back to that picture in the Lord's Prayer and forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So we got to forgive the debt. Ask the Holy Spirit. And then ask for His strength to accomplish what you cannot. And just being practical this morning, you ask God, listen, you and I are not capable of doing this on our own. Big hurts, little hurts, it doesn't matter. We don't have the strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the fortitude to carry through with this. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, would you help me forgive? If we are not capable of forgiving ourselves, how can we be capable of forgiving somebody else? If we need forgiveness, who do we go to? We go to Jesus, right? So if we need to forgive somebody, who do we go to? We go to Jesus. And we say, help. Help me. I need your strength to be able to forgive. As you have defined it in this situation, whatever that means, if that means wishing them well, if that means not being bitter about it anymore, if that means I have to call them and apologize, if that means whatever it means in your particular situation, then we go back to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, I hear you. I see the picture, but I cannot do this. I need your strength. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer for just a minute. The very beginning of that prayer, before we get to the forgiveness part, says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we go back to that part of the prayer. When we get to the debt part and the forgiving debtors part, we got to go back to that and say, This is about you. This is your strength. This is your kingdom. This is your will. You know my will, my natural will is not to do this. And so I'm going to go back in submission to your will and your kingdom. In order for that to happen, it needs to be your strength. Put the emphasis back on God. It's got to be your strength in me. How do we dig this well? Let go of your right to hold the note for this debt. You get the picture? How many notes are you holding on to this morning? You say, oh, I've forgiven them. But you're still holding on to a note somewhere that says you did this. You owe me. You trespassed against me. You know what you got to do with that note? Some people say, oh, well, you tear it up. No. Give it to God. He is the one who carries all that, because only he can figure out whether it needs to be torn up. But you get your hands off of it. What do companies do when they get tired of trying to collect debt? They turn it over to a debt collector, don't they? Right? They write it off. I don't want to mess with this. Let's turn it over to somebody everybody already hates anyway, debt collectors. Listen, you're never going to be able to exact that debt out of that person anyway. So the best thing that you can do is say, God, I know that you are the great judge. And if there's anything that needs to be paid for here, that's your job, not mine. So I give it to you. You want to collect it? You collect it. But I give it to you. You see, forgiving means that we trust God with holding people accountable. It's not our job to hold them accountable. It's God's. That's why we can forgive people. And again, there may not be reconciliation, but we can forgive them and we can let God hold the note, take our hands off of it, and he will deal with them. Will he not? And it's absolutely his right to deal with them the same way he dealt with you. Which is, if they ask him for forgiveness, you know what he's going to do with that note? He's going to tear it up. Then he's going to set it on fire. And there won't even be any ashes, because that's what he did for you and me. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. See, God said over and over in his word, he said, and I will remember your sins no more. So you turn that note over to God. It's God's job to hold them accountable. And only God's job to hold them accountable. You're not going to stand beside God one day as he's judging people. You're not going to lend your voice to the people that you knew. Oh, hey, God, you remember when, you know, they did this to me? Have you taken that into account yet? Did they ask you for forgiveness for that, Lord? I wouldn't let them in if I was you, Lord. So you take your hands off that debt, you give it to God, and God will hold them accountable. Now, if they never repent of their sins, if they don't ask Jesus to be their Savior and Lord, then he will hold them accountable. But that's not your job. Amen. And frankly, if we truly love in the way that God loves, we wouldn't want anybody, as angry as we get sometimes at people, but we wouldn't want anybody to have to suffer eternity separated from God in hell, would we? But that's why God is the one who holds, because only God knows a person's heart. Only God knows. And so we leave it in God's hand. Let go of your right to hold the note for this debt. And then release the hurt and the one responsible for it into God's hands. So not only do we release the debt, but we release the hurt, our hurt, and we release the person responsible for it into God's hand. Now, I think we get to this point, and a lot of times this is where it gets really hard. It can be difficult to let go of the hurt. And I just give you a little bit of instruction. I don't have time to go into great detail this morning, but I do this often in prayer. And those of you who have been involved in Steps to Freedom and prayer counseling, you've used this technique sometimes as well. Sometimes it helps for you to envision the hurt, to envision the incident. In other words, in prayer, ask God to show you. Often we say something like, you know, ask God to show you, you know, when that happened or that situation. Put a picture to it for you. And we do two things. We say, you know, ask God to show you where he was during that time. And often the Holy Spirit will give you some very beautiful pictures and insight into what was going on and what he was doing, you know, at that moment. But one of the powerful things that we can do to truly let go of hurt and stuff is to envision ourselves. And there's lots of different ways to do this. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you. You don't have to have somebody tell you what to do. But to envision the process of letting it go. Now, maybe for you that vision is taking that incident in your mind and your vision and putting it into a big garbage sack and tying a knot into it and tossing it into a big garbage heap. Maybe for you, it would be helpful to to put it behind a big door, lock it up, and throw away the key. But ask the Holy Spirit to help you let go And then don't go back to it. And so usually the final step that I tell people is, okay, God's given you this picture. And that's what you've done. And then we encourage people to say some very simple words. Now, say goodbye. And the physical act of you saying those words over a hurt or a person or somebody, you know, that has caused the offense, looking at that situation and saying the words goodbye can sometimes break that bondage that hurt has had over your life. And sometimes we encourage people to say it multiple times. Say it again. Say it again. Now turn around and walk away. It's taking some extra steps to release the hurt and the person responsible for it into God's hands. So sometimes you need to say goodbye. Two more real quick here. Pray for them and ask God to bless them. How do I drink from this well? Pray for them and ask for God to bless them. I know you know the verse, but we're going to read it anyway. Matthew 5:44 says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Elsewhere, the scripture says, bless those who curse you. Bless them. So let's use that illustration of debt one more time. Let me show you how this works. See, I don't want to pray for them. I know you don't. That's why we got to go back up to the first couple of steps, right? Right? You need to ask God for the strength to be able to forgive them. But as you begin to pray for them and bless them, ask God to bless them, something changes in your heart. It never goes back. Listen to me closely. It never changes what happened. It doesn't somehow put a dress on it and make it look pretty. But it changes your heart, and it helps you to be able to do some of these other things that I'm talking about as far as letting go and giving in to God's hand. When you simply pray, and it don't have to be long prayers. It doesn't. And for the most part, you know, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time, you know, detail. But we just pray simple prayers of, Lord, you know so-and-so. And Lord, would you bless them today? Maybe you know that they're going through some of their own troubles. Maybe you could pray specifically about the things that they're going through, that God would meet that need in their lives. And using the illustration of debt, let me show you how this works and why this works. When we pray that our enemies or debtors, let's use that term debtors, are blessed, we are inadvertently praying that we will be blessed. Or that they will have the money or ability to make reparations. So think about it. In terms of debt, if somebody owes us money and they can't pay, if we say, Lord, bless them, and suddenly they're blessed and they have money. Just think about money for a minute. Don't think about hurt and forgiveness. If we pray, God bless them, and God blesses them, and they have money, guess what they're able to do? They're able to pay back those they're in debt to. Are they not? So it seems to me that's a much better prayer than, oh, those rats, they'll never pay me back. God, I just pray that you would curse them. Well, if God curses them, they're certainly never going to pay you back, right? I'm just saying, use that as an illustration to help you understand. When God says, pray for your enemies and bless them, that it really comes back upon you. And then finally, resist dredging up buried debt. Because there's always going to be that temptation to go dig something back up that you've already walked through this process with. Yes? By the way, there's some great material out there. We've been through the study, The Bait of Satan, several times. There's some great material in there. Helps walk through forgiving our debtors. I love, it's an old book by a gentleman by the name of Lewis Smedes, but he wrote it called, it's called Forgive and Forget. Powerful book about walking through issues of forgiveness. So there's so much more detail that we, you know, we could talk about and walk through. But I believe the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. He's going to lead you as you make a commitment to drink from this well. I can't give you all the answers on a Sunday morning in just a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit can say, you really want to drink from this well? And we say, yeah. And so we begin drinking of His forgiveness every day. And then He leads us to be able to drink not only of our forgiveness, but of the ability to forgive other people too. And it really is refreshing. It really is nourishing to our souls as we drink from this well. But you can't go back and dig up buried debt. Leave it alone. Consider it paid off. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive. Listen to this, as the Lord forgave you. Amen. There's really the key, isn't it? How many times has God forgiven you? Anybody want to put a number on it? I can't. And if I did, it probably would change before the day is over. Amen. Ephesians 4, 31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind. Compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave. So how do we get rid of all that stuff? Bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, slander, every form of malice. How do we be kind and compassionate to one another? We do it by drinking from the well of forgiveness. First drinking from the forgiveness that God has for us, and then drinking of the forgiveness that God wants us to share with other people. Let's stand together this morning. Miss Patrice, could you come? I don't have anything prepared this morning. And I know we're right at the noon hour. But I really did want to give a call this morning, as I shared earlier. And I just want you to come. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time pulling you or dragging you. I'm just opening these altars and saying, this is a great well to drink from. And if you're here this morning and you need forgiveness in your life, before you walk out those doors, come to an altar and confess and believe and ask and receive and repent. And God is faithful. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you're here today, and as we talked about forgiving our debtors, if there's some kind of debt that popped up in your heart or mind, big or small, would you come? And if you do nothing else this morning but just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me define what forgiving this person, this situation really means in my heart. Would you come and just spend a minute or two at the altar and let the Holy Spirit begin to prepare you for the next step? It may not all be accomplished this morning, but it would be a good step to just come and say, Lord, you know and I know that I need to forgive. So help me do it. Come on. Come if you're here today and you want to spend a few moments at an altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you're not coming to the altar today, feel free to be dismissed quietly or just sit back down in your seats. I don't want to make you stand for a long extended period of time. But Father, I ask your blessing upon everyone gathered in this place today. You know we're all at different spots. There are different things going on in our lives right now in this moment. And we just thank you that we can even come to an altar, that we can come into your presence, that we can ask you for forgiveness, and we can ask you to help us forgive. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would walk us through the process. If my words are not sufficient this morning, do your work, and you teach, Holy Spirit. You teach what step in the process, or what step that I didn't even mention, Lord, that we need to go through this morning. We just praise you and we exalt you. Lord, we declare that there is nothing that we could ever do to earn your forgiveness and your love in our lives. For that we are eternally grateful. So Lord, take the burdens off of our hearts this morning. We truly do want your strength, Lord. We need it, Jesus. Would you just stretch your hand out to those who are praying today? You don't need to go to them, but just stretch your hand out and pray. Let's let the presence of the Holy Spirit glad the word of God says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Issues of forgiveness are like having no rest. But in you we have rest, Lord. We don't have condemnation. We have rest. And some of us need rest today. Rest in your presence, Lord. Rest from the troubling issues that are in our hearts right now. God, we need your rest, your compassion, your love. Let the waters of forgiveness just flow this morning, I pray, in this altar. Until all have been able to drink the fullness of your love, the fullness of your presence, God.